Thanks, Jen. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. It's always very emotional when Randy Vineyard comes by. Randy is the founder of the Jake Vineyard Foundation. He's here to talk about the Out of the Darkness Walk, which takes place this weekend in Montrose Harbor. Randy, always good to see you. Thank you so much for being here again.
Thanks. Really appreciate the opportunity. I really do. I appreciate every time Jasmine sends me a text message and I get the invite, so thank you.
Just a brief summary of what people need to know about you and why we bring you on, and it's very important that we bring you on. We lost your son, Jake, to suicide 5 years ago, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And part of what the foundation is a reach out to people who are in similar situations to say, you're not in this alone. We want to help. And boy, I applaud you for what you do. I saw on your Facebook page the other day you were speaking at another school, this time to 7th and 8th graders, I believe.
Correct,
right?
Yeah, it was 8th graders. Yeah.
What do you say to 8th graders? How do you approach this? Because it's such a serious topic and something that needs to be discussed. What's your approach when you do this?
Yeah, it's kind of funny you say that. My wife, Kelly, makes fun of me because she's like, are you prepared to go talk to these guys? And I said, well, I got nothing prepared, kind of yeah. Like I was just telling you earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult talking to these kids because you look at them and they are only eighth graders. You know, they're 13, 14 years old. And it's something that I'm sure they're not expecting to sit down and have a discussion about. Suicide isn't something, like I tell the kids yesterday, I said, you know, this is obviously something you're not going to want to sit down and talk about at dinner time with mom and dad. But talking to them, you got to be delicate, but yet you have to personalize it. And one of the things I told him yesterday that it really sunk in as I was driving to the school thinking about it, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a social worker, I'm not a counselor, I'm not a professional speaker in any way, shape, or form. What I am is I'm a dad. I'm a dad that lost a son.
Yeah.
And that's how I was trying to talk to him. I wasn't trying to talk to him as a doctor or a social worker or something like that would, intimidate him or not want to listen. So you engage with them, not necessarily as a father to them, but just kind of as a friend to them and try to keep it as low-key as possible.
And they need to hear this stuff, unfortunately, at maybe even younger ages.
Yeah. Well, case in point is through the loss of Jake, I've made so many friends of parents that have lost kids to suicide. A guy, Alan, up in Wisconsin, he lost his 12-year-old son, Gage. It made the news up there, and I stay in touch with him. And you're right. I don't think you can start too early. I know there's that stigma out there that if you talk about it, you're going to encourage it or you're promoting suicide, and it's really not. You're promoting the prevention and the awareness and things to look for.
I imagine at some point, as crazy as this sounds, there's got to be some opposition. There's got to be either some parents or some schools who just say, nah, it's best that we not discuss this with the kids. I bet that's happened, hasn't it?
It has happened. I've got a friend, Wendy, and her son played in our baseball tournament 2 years ago, not this year, the year before. They live in Wakanda, and their high school is adamantly against talking about suicide awareness and stuff like that. And they, ironically, sadly, last year I spoke at the school in Lake Zurich. Last year, the day after I spoke to them, a student at Wakanda took his own life.
It has to be discussed because these kids know people that die by suicide. We're all trying to retrain ourselves. Yeah. You don't commit suicide. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You die by suicide. There are kids that know someone who have died by suicide. There are people that actually are feeling like maybe life is hopeless. Mm-hmm. It totally has to be talked about.
It does.
To brush it under the rug is not helping anyone.
No, it's not. And that's one of the things I do when I speak to the kids in the class. I bring it up. I put it in their lap. I ask them, do you know anybody or have you been affected by somebody? And get the hands up. The teacher, Kevin, raised his hand. And I just didn't get the stories, but I just said, well, who was it? And apologized, sorry for their loss. But, you know, it was a cousin. It was a brother. It was an uncle. It was a grandpa, grandma. And I told him one thing. I said, you know what? There's a commonality. That is that it doesn't discriminate.
Right.
It's going to be a son. It's going to be a dad. It's going to be an aunt or an uncle or a grandpa.
And a lot more hands go up when you ask that question than don't go up, don't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yesterday, I think in the three classes I spoke to, I had probably engaged with 12 or 13 kids.
That, really?
Yeah.
What sort of questions do they ask you?
A lot of them are the typical ones. Are there any signs that we can look for? What, you know?
It's a great question.
It is. And that's really my talking point after we talk about our foundation and our baseball tournament and things that we do. I found some resources, and I just put together, and I've memorized it. It's the facts of suicide.
Let's hear them.
Facts, F, the acronym F is for feelings. You notice, I always use a fictitious kid. Billy or Sally and Brad were our fictitious kids yesterday. Feelings. You notice that a kid is coming in. He's just not feeling right. He's not his normal self. A is actions. Change in actions. Brad was a good kid. Always was bringing stuff in for the kids, good friends with everybody, no ego. All of a sudden, he's closing up. His actions have changed. Choices, the C is choices. Starting to make bad decisions, bad choices, hanging around with the wrong group of kids. And the T is the most critical one, I think, is threats. Social media, seeing threats on social media. One girl actually raised her hand and she said, oh, yeah, there's a girl that posted, you'll be sorry when I'm gone or something like that. You know, those types of threats on Facebook. And I told her and I told the class, can't take them as idle threats. You have to watch for those. Whether it's a social media threat or it's a discussion and said, you guys will be sorry when I'm gone or I'd rather not be around or anything
like
that.
Take that seriously. Right.
But what does a kid do? Because that's a lot of pressure to put on another kid who sees it on a social media post who obviously the parent hasn't.
Right. And that's the thing I try to promote with them is when you're on Metro, you hear the announcement. If you see something, say something,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I kind of share that with them. I just said, you know what? You're not telling on somebody. You're not ratting somebody out. You're basically letting somebody know. And that's, again, another cliche, another phrase is start the conversation, whether you're starting the conversation with the other person or talking to somebody else about it, at least just making somebody aware of it. And then the S, leads up to is situations. All the FACT, a situation may have happened. Brad's mother might have passed away.
Yeah.
Or, the parents split up. So there's always something that, or not always, but there's something that brings it on.
Are there different schools of thought? I'm imagining that the answer is going to be yes, but you tell me, are there different schools of thought on how best to approach this very important topic with kids? There's got to be people who say you don't want to do too much of this or not enough of that. How does that play out?
Yeah, yes and no. I don't formally prepare anything. I don't, aside from the facts. But, my philosophy is you really just have to talk kind of to the kids' level that they're at. You don't want to talk over them. You don't want to talk down to them. But you want to be as real and honest as possible to them. They don't have to come home, to my house and have dinner with me, right? So it might be easier for them to listen to somebody talk about stuff like that.
Someone who's not related to them.
Right.
It's sometimes easier to hear things from someone you don't know personally.
Right, exactly.
But you really want to sell the idea of if you feel you're experiencing these sorts of thoughts, you have to reach out to somebody.
Absolutely.
That's paramount.
And I'm really grateful and I guess a little bit humbled. Last year, I spoke to the same school in Hawthorne Woods, and I got a text message from the teacher, Liz. Probably, I might have even been on my way to work. A girl had come up to her and said, I need some help.
Yeah.
And these kids, they're not too young to hear this stuff. And they need to know that they can open up and they can talk to somebody.
And they need to feel like it's not shameful to admit you need help. We all need help with something.
Yep.
And the stigma for so long is no one wants to open up to one another.
Yeah, another cliche and a phrase I like to use, it's okay not to be okay. And I told them that.
Yeah.
I let them know that. I said it with my heart. And I said, there's nothing wrong with you.
So
absolutely
true.
Nothing wrong with you.
So true. Randy Vineyard is here, the founder of the Jake Vineyard Foundation. The website is jakevineyardfoundation.com. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Out of the Darkness Walk, which takes place on Saturday at Montrose Harbor. It's a 9 a.m. start. The walk begins at 11, but they would like you there to register at 9. It ends at 1 p.m. If you have any questions or comments, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Randy Vineyard, the founder of the Jake Vineyard Foundation. We're talking about what that foundation does and the Out of the Darkness Walk that takes place on Saturday, this upcoming Saturday. They'd like you there at 9 a.m. for check-in and registration. The walk begins at 11. What goes on? I have not been to the walks yet. Mm-hmm. What goes on at one of these?
Well, it's really emotional. I know the first year we went, this is actually our sixth walk because we lost Jake in 2014, and we were walking with our friends Jim and Tina. They had lost their daughter, Issa, to suicide in 2012. And obviously the first one is just an emotional
sure.
punch in the gut. But what they have there is they've got a lot of things. They've got booths. They've got resources. They have the memory wall where you can put a picture up. They have a Why I Walk wall. They have beads. They have guest speaker. The beads are representative of who you lost, a different color for who you lost. But they've got some good speakers there. And then obviously the walk.
I imagine being surrounded by people who have experienced what you've experienced has got to be helpful, isn't it?
It is.
It's got to be.
It is. I mean, the first year, I think Kelly and I and the girls were just too numb to really experience or even feel like what we were really doing.
Sure.
But as you go through it, and again, this being the sixth year of doing it, you realize you're not alone, and neither are they. And yeah. and you kind of reach out. I mean, I adored my precious daughter, Kayla. She would wear a dinosaur costume, and she'd have a sign up, free hugs, and she would just hug everybody that came up to her.
That's so nice.
And yeah, so.
How did things change for you, for the survivors, for someone listening out there? You know, it hurts. It's going to always hurt. How do you move on? How have you done it?
Well, I really don't know. I have to believe it's a lot of my faith, and that's a bigger contributing factor to it. You have to move forward. I've said it before. We don't move on. We move forward. But we don't move on or forward without Jake. Everything we're doing for Jake. And you have to move forward. It's too easy to do nothing. I said that a long time ago. It's just you have to do something.
Well, your mind tells you that, but your heart tells you something different. So.
Yeah, it does. But I don't know. It's...
You and I have talked about this. There's times, I'm sure, where you say, why bother? But the answer is there. You have to reach out to other people who are in similar situations and help, and you do that, and that's so important.
And we have to. I dread another parent going through what we went through. It's devastating.
Right. It is.
We have Pat, who has called in, 312-981-7200. Pat, we've got Randy Vineyard in the studio, and we're talking about the Chicago Out of the Darkness Walk, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. What are your thoughts here, Pat?
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. And, Randy, I'm so sorry for your loss. I am a registered nurse, and I've worked with a lot of different people, CNAs and what have you, and there are sometimes markers for suicide. When you have a young person, like a high school person, and say like it's summertime, and your daughter or son packs up all of their winter clothes and gives them to a shelter, or vice versa, or they give away all their electronic equipment, they have a plan in place. Do not let that go by you. I don't want to boast, but I've saved two children's lives because I heard parents talking about that. And they were my CNAs, and I said, go home. Your child has a plan, and they're going to kill themselves. And I had to put it just that out there, that flatly. And I did save that child's life. So you have to listen. You have to watch. You have to know your child and see what is going on. Because a lot of times these children will not talk, but they do have a plan. And I just wanted to add my two cents.
Pat, thank you for your call.
But when you give the parent that information, what are some suggestions to the parent who has this information? What is the first step?
The first step is to go home and hug your child. Let them know they are loved. Let them know there is nothing that they cannot come to you with. Let them know there is nothing that you haven't heard that they can talk to you about, and that you will always love them, that you are always there for them. They need to hear that every single day and feel it, not just hear it, but feel it. We have to be there for our children, because if we aren't, there are so many evil, evil things out there that will be there for our children.
Pat, thank you so much for calling. We really appreciate that. I didn't mean to cut you off. Did you have one final thought?
That's all right. I understand. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
She brings up, that's a valid point, and I do actually touch on that with the kids, is, you know, watching for changes or choices. That's kind of part of that subject, is giving things away, personal belongings given away. And the sad thing, too, is there's not always signs. You never know.
I know.
You just, sometimes you will not know, and that's the sad thing.
What about for survivors where they say, what if we had done this? What if we had done that? You can't do that to yourself, can you? I mean, there's no clear cut if we had done this.
You can't.
It's impossible.
I'd be lying if I say I didn't say that. I didn't do that.
Well, you're a parent. That's your first instinct to say that.
Yeah, it is. I don't know.
There's no, but that all that does is make it harder.
It does.
And something that needs to be said, suicide unfortunately has affected many of us and it will continue to do so. We need to talk about it. But you constantly hear people saying that was so selfish. How could they do that? That person is not in their right mind and they think they're actually taking the burden off of you. They're not trying to hurt you.
No, they're not. They're not. And a lot of people just don't realize that with mental illness and with pain and inner struggle, they feel that that's the only way the pain is going to end. And that's the sad part of it.
Randy, there's so many important calls, most of them praising you and the foundation for what you do. But this is one, and I don't know that you'll know the answer to this, but this is an important question. How do people with no insurance or the means get help? Do you know the answer to that? Because I don't.
There's nonprofit organizations out there that provide assistance. I know we have a organization in McHenry County. Our good friend Neil Anderson from Anderson's Candy Shop, he's a big sponsor of the foundation that's out there. And I apologize, I can't remember the name, but they actually provide services for people without insurance.
They
so there's nonprofits out there that they can reach out for help. Yes.
And the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline has to have some information for you as well.
Absolutely.
1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255.
Thank you for coming. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to add to that. They've added now text messaging now, so you can actually text to 741-741. And a lot of people aren't comfortable talking, so that's what I told these kids. I know you guys text a lot, I bet. But we, you know, it's part of the foundation. We're proud and honored that we can support this. We sponsor the walk. We're a sponsor, and then this year we're actually sponsoring a second walk that's down in Johnson City, Tennessee, where Kelly's aunt lives down in that area, and she's involved.
Very good.
Do that text line again.
741-741.
That is a great idea because you're right. It's harder to make a phone call where someone's going to pick up and you have to speak to someone. This would be easier to just say, I need some help.
Yep. And from what I understand, it's used a lot, which is good. So people are reaching out for help.
Randy, thank you for coming up. I know this isn't easy, but it's so important.
You're doing great work.
Yeah.
Thank you. No question.
Let me give you a couple of websites. JakeVineyardFoundation.com is Randy's personal website, and then the other one for the walk is afsp.chicagowalk.org. We'll put a link on our Facebook page if anyone has any more questions. Thank you.
You got it.
Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Jen DeSalvo from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.